I understand Ohio is your home, but you have worked in Philadelphia often. And as you know, of course, Philadelphia University was, until 1999, College of Textiles and Science.
Exactly. And we just spent the morning there in the textile collection.
In what, toward what end?
We are actually borrowing sample books and these incredible turn-of-the-century books that show the history of dye and color. And those sample books will end up being part of the exhibition, which actually opens in the fall.
So this notion of a commonplace isn't a commonplace like a site, but it actually alludes to a description of a collection of texts or books that actually goes back centuries.
Right. It's the practice of collecting texts that one wants to remember and for organizing knowledge. And so originally they were handwritten notations, often from someone's reading, sometimes original writing. Early examples have drawings, diagrams in them. A little bit different than a scrapbook, more a collection of literary fragments. And
still vital in this age of Wikipedia?
I think so, yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's a very old form, but on Tumblr and Twitter, I think you have contemporary forms of sharing quotations and sharing things that you want to remark upon. But it doesn't necessarily collect in a physical object. So we are also borrowing examples of early commonplace books from the Rosenbach Library. And those are all handwritten and this beautiful cursive, which we're actually losing the training of our eye to be able to read.
You've previously explored this notion of thread and thread as a line and lines creating words on a page. This seems to be another iteration of that.
Very much so. So I sort of started thinking about how the word text and the word textiles share the same four letters. And that to describe the quality or the feeling of a cloth touching you is something that's a challenge to really our vocabulary. How do you describe the weight of a hand or the brush of a particular kind of cloth? And so I'm really interested in that experience that can be made through language that can evoke a tactile experience in relationship to the feeling of the surround or the weight of a cloth that you're actually wearing. And that's really the genesis of this project, is the those reciprocal relationships between the experience of language and the experience of the cloth that is always touching us.
Of course, that experience varies greatly from individual to individual. You, as a young girl, grew up fluent in needlepoint, sewing and knitting, thanks, I believe, to your grandmother.
Oh, yes, yes. So my grandmother, Lois Bennett, I spent a lot of time at her side, and she had the unique, I would say, capacity or talent to knit or sew and read out loud to me at the same time. And I am sure that is
this is before the term multitasking was in vogue, I presume.
Exactly. Well, at least she didn't also have a little iPhone in her hand,
right?
There
you go.
Yeah.
How did you take that and, in a more formal sense, involve yourself in the world of art?
I think that, you know, my world of making started on the lap. It did. It started with the needlepoint, and it started with a cloth and the intimacy of that close kind of making. And then at a certain point, I was interested in those processes and structures metaphorically. And then they got extended not beyond the body and the scale of the lap to architecture. So I think that leap from lap scale to building scale brought with it a lot of other changes in form, but the thinking that still informs the work is the structuring of relationships in space and time, not so different than how a cloth is made.
And the idea also of cloth as a bind and binding peoples and societies and community as well is also central to your work.
Very much so. And it's like, so a cloth conceals, it also reveals. And it's interesting as you start to look at the literatures how we use the vocabularies of textiles to obviously describe the World Wide Web. We use it to talk about all manner of social relationships. We stitch things together. You know, we spin a tale. That the thread of that language back, back through our stories is pretty thick.
And that notion of obscuring and revealing is literally taken in one of your exhibits I saw images of, where the viewer pulls back the cloth to see what's hidden.
Yes, yes. And actually, the big project, taking that to an architectural scale, the project at the Park Avenue Armory a number of years ago, there were people on swings, and as you would swing opposite each other, you would raise and lower a giant cloth between you. So as it was raised by your backward swing, you would see the person across, and then alternately it would lower, and they would be blocked.
Yeah. Let's talk about this process now in real time, as cloth, a commonplace, will evolve ultimately into the exhibit entitled A Social Fabric.
Right. So there, right now we're very focused on the collection on a Tumblr site of fragments from literature and from writing that make a reference to textile vocabularies. So a commonplace traditionally is authored by a single person. It's your private collection. In this case, we've made a Tumblr site, and so we're collecting, we're making a collective collection of literatures that make this reference, and we're asking for public donations to that. So the site is live, and then the submissions will become part of the exhibition at the Fabric Workshop. And in a second site, which is at Pier 9. We're in the middle of a conversation and hoping that will all happen. So there will be one aspect of the project which involves a lot of textile, historic textile materials, would be at the workshop. And then another part of it that's a little more experiential, we are hoping, we're crossing our fingers, and we're hoping will come through to take place in the fall at the pier.
Are there suggested guidelines for the fragment size? Is it done in haiku or iambic pentameter? Or?
There's no length. There are no rules, actually. And the length...
Another central tenet I've discovered with your work.
There are no rules. It's true. It's I think it's like what you try to do with a work is you try to make the condition for something to happen and not make too many rules about how that happens, because it's the act of finding and responding to something that actually helps generate the form. So even like this morning when we were at Philadelphia University, we could look online and we could make initial selections, but it's not until you're standing there in front of the objects, holding them in your hand, that the associative brain that links that to other aspects of the project starts to unfold. And so in a project, one of the things that's happening is you're asking people to enter that very broadly associational kind of thinking. And so, you know, it's interesting what you can find in a Google search, which is a lot, obviously, but also what you can't find. And so we're asking communities of readers, you know, when you're reading, when you come across a section, a passage that brings forward to your experience a sense of touch and a sense of a cloth touching or the drape or movement, please write that down. Please submit it to this site. And then all those texts will form one material part of the exhibition. So, for example, I was having dinner last night with the director, acting director of the Fabric Workshop, Susan Talbot, and she was just finishing a Murakami book and then started to describe to me this passage she marked where there is a naked woman standing by the road, and a woman pulls over in her car, and the feeling of this cashmere coat being put around her shoulders to cover her nakedness.
Sensuality of that.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, one of my favorite authors is Virginia Woolf, and her work is replete with textile references.
As an artist and as a teacher visiting us in Philadelphia, yeah, I must ask you to weigh in, if you will, on districts who have limited budgets, who in their wisdom first cross out or reduce arts programs.
Right. It's a disaster. It's a disaster because education is not about information only, you know, and I think that what happens when those programs go to the side and they're seen as unnecessary, that then you're not cultivating a kind of intelligence that's informed by imagination. And that, you know, if we can't grow a culture where we can imagine things differently than how they are, then where are we?
Schools are less and less frequently teaching script
writing. I know. Or they teach it and you don't use it, so you never practice it. And, you know, I don't know if I'm just totally 19th century or if it's really about bringing forward into the present forms of attention that we as beings still really need.
I'm getting the sense that you're totally 22nd century.
Oh,
thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thank you so much.
Ann Hamilton, the exhibit starting this fall is a social fabric. The Tumblr site now up and running is Cloth a Commonplace.